supernatural provision, supernatural protection, God will lead us. How did God lead nation of Israel? Day by, talk about drama, day by cloud, night by fire. Wow, not torchlight. No, Moses actually cheat them. No. It was God. He's going to do it again in a far measure. That's where this Goshen principle, you're going to study Exodus, it's kind of amazed. You know, one of the plague is that Egypt, in the area of Egypt, totally have no light. Totally have no light, except in Goshen. So they were kind of scratching, how come got light there? Did we not pay PUB bill? It's because of God. Because God, it's going to happen, you know, just put it in our context. You know. Yeah, you know, the whole HDB all run out of light except yours. I said, how come? Julia's house got light? How come? Everybody do. Hey, the other also have. Hey, outside their door, all got a cross one. It's because of the supernatural provision of God. And that's the sign of God. So it's a great day to the redeemed. It's going to have a great manifestation of the power of God to deliver his people, to protect his people, to disguise. Far surpass Moses' time. Far surpass the apostles' time. You're all in heaven right now. Look at us and say, amen, Ke Chong is right. Listen to him. You know? Then he said, Ke Chong, want to change place or not? No, actually, you should have asked me. Ask Joshua, ask Julia, ask all the young ones. Want to change a lot? I will change with you. Yeah, I will give you all my money to, which is not much, to change. Yeah, anyway, nothing to lose, right? Yeah. So it's a great day to the redeemed. It's a very terrible day to the rebellious. If you are against God, it's going to be the most severe time of God's judgment ever seen in history. Revelation 6, 8 and 9, and chapter 16, the seal judgment, the trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment. Turn me to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, I want to say both so that we are not terrified. Yes, we should be sober, but yet we pray with hope. Because the God of Moses is going to break in to lead us. The God of the Apostle Paul is going to break in to lead us. We can have confidence if we prepare ourselves. Matthew 24 is going to be terrible. Jesus actually quoted from Daniel 12, verse 1. Daniel 12, verse 1. I'm going to read Matthew 24, verse 21. Jesus quoted from Daniel 12. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been seen. No, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. Wow. Unprecedented. If they can summarize this verse in one word, unprecedented crisis. It's going to hit the surface of this earth. Wow. Remember last week, I told you that every day of the Lord, especially the ultimate day of the Lord, the Bible always points to two events. These are two events that help us to learn and understand about the great day of the Lord and very terrible day of the Lord. These are two primary events that we need to understand. One is Moses in Exodus. That give us a powerful picture of how God delivered Israel. And one more time, that is a prophetic foreshadow of how God is going to deliver his people at the end of the age. He will. That's why the book of Revelation talks about tribulation. The tribulation is not against the people of God. It's against sinful people who oppose and rebel against God. When we read the book of Revelation, we should be excited. It's the eschatological book of Acts. Or you can say it, the eschatological book of Exodus. Exodus in the context of end time. Book of Acts in the context of end time. I tell you, if Apostle Paul had that book, you have the book of Acts way before they go right through, they'll be so encouraged. The book of Acts only written after. We are seeing it. Wow. two events. One is Moses. The other one is Babylonian invasion, 586 BC. These two events is very important for us to study, to understand. If you read all the Old Testament prophet, major, minor, every time they talk about referring, either they foretold future glory or they forewarn future crisis, they always point to these two events. Always. Even Habakkuk's prayer, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. He's talking about Moses' day. Redeem your day. What is he talking to? What is he referring to? The days of Moses. The days of Moses. Renew your day. He's saying, do it one more time, God, just as you did it through Moses. One more time. But in wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember. So these two events is very important. The days of Moses and the Babylonian invasions in 586 BC. Okay, there are other dates I'll give you later. There are some other dates that point us to the great day of the Lord, but this is the two ultimate one. Okay, next. Two expressions of the day of the Lord throughout history. There are two expressions. Okay, the first one is called ultimate day of the Lord in the global dimension. Ultimate day of the Lord. In the global dimension. I'm going to explain to you what it is. Second is lesser day of the Lord in the local dimension. Got it? Two dimension. I mean, two expression. Got to get it right. Two expression. Ultimate day of the Lord in the global dimension and lesser day of the Lord in the local dimension. Okay. Let me just talk about the ultimate day of the Lord first. Then I come down to lesser day of the Lord, because the lesser day of the Lord is all built up to give us insight of ultimate day of the Lord. What is going to happen and how we should respond and who is God is to answer all these questions. What is happening? Where is God? Who is God? Why is God doing all this thing? You learn from the lesser day of the Lord. That's why throughout history, there are many lesser day of the Lord. One of them, for example, 722 BC. Anyone know what happened 722 BC? Not my birthday. No, 722 BC is the Assyrian invasion into the northern Israel. Israel got wiped out. Northern Israel never exists anymore. The 10 tribes of Israel got scattered forever. It's another discipline of God, because the northern, after Solomon, Israel split into north and south. Okay, the north with 10 tribes, the south with 2. Okay, the south is called Judah, the north is called Israel. But in the northern Israel, unfortunately, they never had even one good king. All are evil. And the worst one is King Ahab. That's where Elijah confront at Mount Carmel. Okay, so that's where 722 BC. You know, when God sent Assyria, go and study the Bible. You know, even in Jeremiah, every time they point to what happened to northern Israel, they call it sister. Didn't see what happened to your sister, because they are sisters. Israel, Judah, because God is using that lesser day of the Lord in the local dimension to warn Judah before another one comes, which is 586 BC. These are things that we can learn, okay? So, first one is ultimate day of the Lord in the global dimension. Second is lesser day of the Lord in local dimension, okay? Let's talk about ultimate day of the Lord in the global dimension. There's only one. There's only one ultimate day of the Lord. All lesser day of the Lord built up to the ultimate day of the Lord. There's only one ultimate day of the Lord. Specifically referred to generation where Jesus is returning. Prior, the time frame prior to the second coming of Jesus. Okay, there's two theological terms. Okay, either it's a narrow day of the Lord or the broad day of the Lord, okay, which I mentioned last week. Narrow day of the Lord is specific day of Jesus' return. That specific day. So when you study in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord, especially referring to the ultimate day of the Lord, you have to study carefully. Is it referring to the narrow or is it referring to the broad? Because the broad is really broad. Okay, this is not a biblical term. This is a theological term to define. Okay, narrow and broad for the ultimate day of the Lord. How long is a broad day? Okay, broad day is really long. The final 7 years before Jesus returned, all the way to 1,000-year millennium kingdom, only ends at eternity. That's a broad day of the Lord. Broad day of the Lord. Got it? So that is a narrow ultimate day of the Lord in the global dimension, only one time. We are racing towards there. I mean, I believe some of us alive today could see it. Could see we are racing towards there. Okay. Lesser day of the Lord in the local dimension occurs various times throughout biblical history and modern day history. Both negatives and positive. I give you the negative one first. 722 BC. What happened? Invasion of Assyrian to northern Israel. Israel got totally wiped out. Never exists anymore. 722 BC. Lesser day of the Lord. 586 BC. What happened 586 BC? Babylonian invasions to Judah. Israel went into exile for 70 years. Okay. Next one. Heard of this name, Antiochus Epiphany, the Greek king. I think it's 334 BC. I'm not too sure whether this date is correct, but it's about there. 300 BC, plus minus. Antiochus Epiphany. That's where there is that prophetic foreshadow of abomination of desolation. Every time Jesus quote abomination or desolation, he's pointing to what happened to Israel during the reign of Antiochus Epiphany. He's basically called the mad one, if you translate his name, the mad king. Next one, AD 70. What happened in AD 70? Roman Emperor Titus came in, totally destroyed Israel. Israel went into diaspora for close to 2,000 years. Only came back in 1948. I want to encourage you to watch some of this clip. I've been watching some of this documentary. It's amazing. I won't even use the word amazing. You have to see God in it. I have been watching three major wars Israel ever fought. 1948, or rather 1947, where they got independent. The Six Days War in 1967. It's just brilliant. Then, of course, the 1973 Yom Kippur. Oh, that's drama. In the military, guys will tell you it's the battle of all battles. You know, the strategy, you know. Israel is about to lose. Then there's a turnaround. Then it has to be God. Because the Arab nation is very smart. They hit them on the holiest day of Israel where there's no TV. Because Israel is go by this reservist. So that if anything happened, they begin to call back all the people. But that day is Yom Kippur. There's no TV, no radio. So they can't. So they wasted half a day. Yeah, but in the end, they prevail. You know, it's a 14-day war. Okay, actually, Israel pushed the boundary all the way to... they took over the whole Sinai Peninsula until the Suez Canal. Until after Egypt and Israel make peace. Anwar Sadat. Yeah, so that's where Israel give back the Sinai Peninsula. It's a drama because they're being attacked both fronts, Golan Heights and Sinai Peninsula. I mean, it's a very small nation. That's why Israel invented this term in the military term called preemptive strike. They have to hit first. Okay, never mind. Okay, after that, go, just go watch. It's about an hour. Okay, so if you have the time. It's worth watching. No, I'm not asking you to watch Pokemon or Star Wars. It's worth watching. You need to know some of this history. Later, I'm going to recommend you another one. Okay, so these are the negatives. Okay, AD 70, Emperor Titus, diaspora. Then 1939 to 1945, World War II. I'll talk a little bit more about World War II. Hitler is a very powerful prophetic foreshadow of the rise of Antichrist. There is such similarity. If you study Antichrist, how he rise up, the suddenness, that caught everybody by surprise. And with that short span of time, total destruction, Hitler is one of the foreshadow that tell us what is going to happen when he comes. Right? So these are negative. Positive. Of course, days of Moses, Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, the book of Acts, and revival throughout church history. Where there's a great awakening in the late 1700s or early 1800s, okay, or Azusa Street revival and so on and so on. These are all lesser day of the Lord in the local dimension, in the positive and negative. Okay, purpose of the lesser day of the Lord, I say already, to give us insight into the great and ultimate one. Great and ultimate one. Take me to Joel chapter 1. We're going to use 3 days of the book. No, 3 days of the Lord in the book of Joel to give you some principle. It's very important. Okay? That's why we need to. Okay. I know last Friday, there are many questions. You know, people ask, is it that bad? You know, you talk about economic crisis. Economic crisis is always cyclical. You know, there's rise and fall and so on. So my questions to everyone is this, even myself. Jeremiah 1:11, what do you see? What do you see? Do you see this as isolated event? Or do you see this as a connected, progressively pointing towards something and getting somewhere? So the key is, what do we see? Is it isolated? Or is it connected? You study carefully. I'll give you a few examples. Economic crisis later. Economic crisis, the rise of terrorism. You know, if you go into some deeper study, you know where it actually happens, where it starts? 1970s. There's a chain repercussions that's happening. And two years ago, there's a few prophetic voices actually came out and say very clearly, God allowed ISIS to arise to discipline the Western church, primarily European church, as well as the church in America. You know, I say, whoa, I didn't say it. I'm just quoting someone else. Wow. So people say, oh, how can this be? But the question is, what do we see in all this? Economic crisis, terrorism, diseases. You know, bird flu come back and forth. It's happening right now in China again, in a much more severe way. What do we see? No, Hokkien say sway law. You sure? What do we see? Or is it because of the mercy and the grace of God that he give a reprieve? Tighten a little bit, let go a little bit. Tighten a little bit, let go a little bit, so that we have time to catch a breath, as well as time to recollect ourselves and ask the Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? Okay, that's why the book of Joel is so important, because book of Joel gives us principles that help us to see clearly, interpret it correctly, and to understand it with certainty. We need to understand it with certainty, because it's not going to be popular. People is not going to like it, but we can learn a lot in these 3 chapters. From what happened in Israel, Joel 1, Joel 2, how Israel interpreted and responded. Joel 1, Joel 2. What Joel say? Joel 1, Joel 2. And how did the nation of Israel responded? Zero. Nothing. And God gave them about 14 to 20 years and sent a few prophets. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and Joel. Yeah, of course, I came out of the group chat, which Annabelle said last week. Yeah. And then later, he sent Jeremiah. Just a few years. And Jeremiah was with them until the very end. And Jeremiah went with them. He was in the prison. So we can learn a lot. Joel 1, again, quickly. Joel 1. What is Joel 1? Lesser day of the Lord. But it's a past day of the Lord. No, you can learn all this. Joel 1, Joel 2, there's consistent pattern and principle. Comes in waves. No, then you can use this principle to look and see what God is saying. Comes in waves, increase in intensity, period of reprieve, and then it comes again. It comes in waves, increase in intensity, period of reprieve, it comes again. It's like God is trying to give get our attention. If you don't respond, I'm going to give you another wave. If you don't understand, I'm going to tighten the screw even tighter. Then I'll give you a breather. It's called grace. Imagine I push you into water. You know, you run out of breath. I say, okay, come on, take 5 seconds, breathe, then go down again. I mean, that 5 seconds is precious. There's a consistent principle. Whether it's Joel 1 and Joel 2. Comes in waves. Increase in intensity. Period of reprieve comes again. Right. And you need to study all three chapters together. Then you see the big picture. Let's go to Joel 1. Joel 1. Lesser day of the Lord, but it's a past day of the Lord. What is it? Agriculture crisis. In the form of locust invasions. How many years? About 5 years. About 5 years. Remember I say it comes in waves? How many waves? 4 waves. Joel 1, verse 4 says what? Chewing locusts came left. Then swarming locusts came. Swarming locusts came left. Clawing locusts came. Clawing locusts came left. Consuming locusts came. Wow, really sweet. What did we see? What did they see? And it's not the end. It's not the end. You read all the way until end of Joel chapter. Joel talks about drought happened, famine happened, disease break out, fire break out, and many people died. Many people died. Remember the consistent principle? Comes in waves. Increase in intensity. A period of reprieve. Then comes again, if you don't understand. What happened to the nation of Israel? How did they interpret it? They ascribe it to natural disaster. Sure, part of it could be. Remember, I talked about that when it comes to the end time, the coming end time eschatological storm, there is four factors. God, Satan's rage, man's sin, creation groan. It's usually four, but it's not so clear. But God is always behind everything. That's why we need to understand He's the primary cause. If it's a primary cause, there's only primary solution. Israel ascribed it to natural disaster. What did Joel say? It's God. It's God. And He gave a very specific requirement. How to respond. That's where in verse 13 and verse 14, gird yourself, come all night, lay down, call a fast, gather leader, and so on and so on. That's why, you know, since I think 3 or 4 years ago, we decided, or rather I decided, that every year we begin with a long fast. 21 days, 50 days, and so on. And throughout the years, if the Lord nudges us, we fast again. Really fast. It's because there is a requirement. That is the requirement. Joel say is God. Nation of Israel ascribe it to natural disaster. Totally disaster. They did not respond. Not at all. And God gave them how many years of reprieve before the Nebuchadnezzar army came? 14 to 20 years. 14 to 20. Is it? 14 to 20 years for a mere human being is like a long time. You know? It's like, oh yeah, I got 20 years. I can know until all I want. Before you realize, time will just be gone by. Now it's going to be much already. Unbelievable. Before I realize 2018 already. Before I realize 2028 already. It's fast. It is fast. Two lessons we can learn from Joel 1. First one. Correct interpretation. I'm going to talk more later because this is very important. if we cannot interpret correctly, we will not respond correctly. Even if we know what is a required response. That's why people are not really in the urgency to respond, because what are you talking about? It's always like that. Economic crisis is always there. It's cyclical. So the question comes back to, what do we see? Do we see it as isolated, or do we see it as connected? What do we see? Second lesson, correct response. Correct response. Fast, pray, turn to God. Turn to God. No, we can come up with a human solution, not wrong. I never say we cannot come up with a human solution. It's okay, but it should not be the only, and it should not be the first. We should always look to God first and look to God most. Got it? Not saying cannot. We should. If God will give you wisdom, but we don't run ahead of God. For example, you know, people say go is the way to go. No, that's why people got caught, got burned big time. You know why? We are coming out with a human solution before seeking God first. Maybe, I don't know, but my human mind say, come to economic crisis, why do I want go? I need an apple more than go. And it's hard to run with lots of gold bar when you're in crisis. I don't know, but God hasn't spoken clearly yet. I'm not saying we should not. If God asks me to buy bond, if I have money, I buy. If not, I'll be in bondage. If he asks me to buy, I'll buy. So I'm not against human solution or human wisdom. There is a place, but it should not be the only or the primary, and worse, the secondary. We should look to God first and look to God most when crisis is about to come. I'm not in a hurry. You know, people say, so are you not worried about economic crisis? God has not really spoken about what exactly to do yet. You know why? There's not enough prayer. There's not enough fasting over nations. So the word of the Lord from heaven has not come yet. Has not. So don't be in a hurry. Be wise. Like, I can give you one best wisdom. Don't spend beyond your means. Fasten your seatbelt. I mean, don't pinch on yourself. Don't eat. I mean, well, you know, I came out already. I'm eating. I mean, I'm hungry. I tell Annabelle just now before the session, can I take one of your buns? I'll be hungry. Okay. So, got what I'm saying? Okay, Joel 2. Let's go to Joel 2. Now, this is a sober message, but it's a consistency there. Okay. Joel 2. Remember the principle? Consistent principle. Come in waves. Increase in intensity. Period of reprieve. Come again. Let's go to Joel 2. Joel 2 is what? Near future, day of the Lord. It's going to happen in 14 to 20 years' time. Military crisis because of the Babylonian invasion led by King Nebuchadnezzar. Three waves. 606 BC, they came. Then, 597 BC, they came again. The last one. 586 BC. It was spread over 20 years. Wow. Remember what I say? It came in waves. Increase in intensity. 606 was intense. Many died. Many were captured. 597, even more intense. Many died. Many captured. 586, they exiled for 70 years. It came in waves. Increase in intensity, period of reprieve. It comes again. There's a gap every time, it's about 8, 9, or 10 years. What did God do? Give them a breather. Give them time to recollect themselves. Go and hear, replay some of the Joel CD on YouTube. It's like, oh, what did Joel just say? They did not pay attention. Joel 2 verse 1, Joel was so clear. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. The day of the Lord is coming. It's coming. But they did not respond because they did not correctly interpret. So third lesson from Joel 2. Take heed and hear what God is saying. That's correct hearing. We are hearing many voices every day. That's why Jesus said in Mark 4, verse 24, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. What do we see? How we see and how correctly we interpret is depending on what input we get. What input? No, I'm not asking us not to watch TV and whatever. No, I do, but I watch with that discernment. That's why I watch some of this YouTube, 6 Days Wars or whatever, and so on, because I want to know and be aware what's happening, and I want to ask for the spirit of wisdom, understanding, revelation, discernment, so that I can put everything together and interpret it correctly based on what is in God's heart and what He's saying in the Word. That's the key thing. That's why I'm watching some of this, you know, not Korean, no K-pop. Oh, I mean, it's okay. Once in a while, I'm going to watch. I'd rather eat popcorn. Yeah. So that is the key thing. Lesson 3, correct hearing. Fourth one, correct response. Joel makes it very clear. Joel 2, verse 12 to 17. If Israel would have responded, God would have relented. It's as simple as that. That's why we need to, more than just take heed what you hear. That's Mark 4, verse 24. I'm going to talk more next week. We need to take heed how we hear. That means we have to respond correctly. Respond correctly. Okay. I'm not going to run through Joel 3 because primarily it's about end of the age. Okay. So the questions. I'm going to answer some of these questions. Questions. Economy is in cycle. Many people say in cycle. It's always like that. Up, down, inflation, deflation, depression, whatever. Okay. So is world history really that bad? Nation always rise. Nation always fall. There's always multiple conflict in this. It's always like that. So, my quick answer, okay, quick answer is this. Okay, what do you see? Isolated, just cyclical, or connected, progressive, point towards something bigger. What do we see? No, I mean, to be fair, I've done quite a bit of research, especially even economy and so on. No, I'm not an economy expert. That's interesting. I show you, just in 19th century to early 2000, there are many economy crises. It's building towards something huge. You know what the Bible said? There's something huge. One world economy, 666 system. They have to reboot the system. We are heading somewhere, which is crazy. So what do we see? How do we interpret? Is it from human perspective, historian perspective, economist perspective, or biblical perspective? Remember, I give you the principle from Joel. Comes in waves. Increase in intensity. Reprieve. Comes again. If you put Joel 1, same. Joel 2, same. Joel 1 and Joel 2 is basically two reprieves. I mean, you can put it together, same event, but there's a reprieve of 14 to 20 years. God gave the nation of Israel some room to breathe so that they will respond. That is the key thing. All are in waves. Joel 1, how many waves? 4 waves in 5 years. Less intense. Less people die. Joel 2, 3 waves. 20 years, many people died. Their city was destroyed. They went into exile. So what do we see? What do we see? Let's run through some. You know, I have 10 minutes. I'll go fast. Economic crisis over the century. You can link all together. The problem has not been solved. The bubble gets bigger and bigger and bigger. They call it You know, some of these young people, have you ever played musical chair? Oh, you know what's musical chair? Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Seesaw. Okay, never mind. Musical chair. It's like you have 10 person, 8 chairs. Music cannot stop. The bubble gets bigger and bigger. That's like U.S. U.S. is 19 trillion debt. Increasing. There's no solution. There is no solution. It's crazy. What they do? They print, law. They keep printing. Just like, you know, you lower it down to a micro until kind of micro level. Let's say me. I have no money. I'm in debt. I owe William Chung $1 million. So I keep still borrow. It's going to catch up on me one day. And unfortunately, the world, you know, a lot of the world economy is packed around greenbacks. Oh, crazy. That's why they cannot allow U.S. to crash. U.S. crash, big problem. So everybody is playing that musical chair. Keep going until one day. One day. Look at it. I don't even want to talk of 1900s, 1910. Let's start 1929. Okay. Great Depressions. 1970s, oil crisis. 1980s, the recessions. 1987, I don't know whether you're old enough, remember the Black Monday. Do you remember Black Monday? Oh, Fan just went out. Fan should know why she's into finance. Okay, Black Monday. 1997, Asian economic crisis. The most recent one, subprime crisis, 2008. What do you see? Cyclical? Up and down. Actually, a lot of these are different ones, no? I'd even add in the dot-com crash. Yeah. So many. Where is this heading? And every time something else, another layer is added on. What do you see? Unless you see it isolated. There's that multiple factor of things that is coming, colliding, forming that perfect storm. That the world actually have no answer. Where we are heading. Economy, terrorism, many things that is colliding. Moral crisis, truth crisis, many things that are colliding. We have no understanding. That's where we need to understand. No, I know it's not popular. I say, Kejong, are you pushing it too far? I'm not. Pray. Ask God for understanding. We need to have authentic, I'm not saying even I am, I'm trying to understand. We need authentic voices who understand and who dare to speak. Give you one example. Go and watch, if you have time, a documentary on the rise of Hitler. It's a very powerful a foreshadow of what's going on. It's kind of crazy because the rise of Hitler is unbelievable. And he's was he a corporal? Firstly, he's a corporal. He's not even a German. He was born in Austria. It's impossible for this man, no one actually gave him a chance, this man to rise up to be the Chancellor of Germany. It's impossible. If you compare it with the rise of Antichrist, you read Daniel chapter 7, they call it the little horn because everybody laughed at him. So when Hitler ran an election, first election, he ran a few, 1929, I think it's the first one. Oh, He was trash. Trash is the right word. He only garnered 2% of the votes. Everybody laughed at him. The next election, 1933, he won. They allow him to win because many of the so-called powerful players in Germany say that this is a nice guy. He's charismatic. He can talk and so on. Say, yeah, let him be the chancellor. We will pull the string behind. Because no one took Hitler seriously. Only one person. Not even Mussolini. If you know who is Mussolini, he's a dictator of Italy. No one except one person. Churchill. Winston Churchill. That's why, you know, many people believe that God raised up Winston Churchill just for that period. Yeah, just for that period. Okay, so by 1933, he took power, but no one took him seriously. It's another 6 years later, he started a war. 1933, if you ask people, will this happen? No one will believe. The war was only about 6 years. Total devastation. You know, one in that 6 years, how many people died? 6 years. 50 million people died. You know how many Jews was killed? 6 million. Wow. If you go back to 1933, it says, would this happen? They said, no one will believe that will happen. It's suddenly. That's why we study the book of Joel so that we gain understanding. Now, of course, not everything is this lesser day of the Lord. You need discernment. You need correct understanding and interpretation. That's why we pray. We pray. Why we want to learn about this day of the Lord? Because the lesser day of the Lord gives us insight about the ultimate day of the Lord. And we are seeing it happening. There are many consistencies, you know. We need a voice, because when it happens, there'll be confusion, there'll be fear. People ask all kinds of questions. What happened? Why? Where is God? And many people will be totally offended. Tell me the one last verse. One last verse. Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7. We need people who have absolute clarity and courage to speak. Even if it's unpopular. Not the Jeremiah 23 prophets or shepherds. All they say, oh, everything is going to be fine. It's going to be peace. You know, there are many people talking about everything going to be fine. There'll be peace. Yes, to a certain extent, but it's a right word in wrong season. Everything is going to be fine. God is loving. No trouble is coming. No, God needs the true Jeremiah 3:15 shepherds. Precisely, God is so loving, He's going to confront sin. He's going to confront sin. That's Jeremiah. The king of Judah came to him a couple of times. Every time he tell them that, no, God is going to judge, you're going to lose, don't even need to fight. They threw him into prison. Hopefully, you will say something better. Same thing. That's where you have this verse, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call to me, and I will answer you, and grant you great and marvelous things that you do not know. Not talking about who is your wife or who is your husband, your future one. It's talking about, ask God, what is He doing? What is He saying? That's why God needs voices, people who have absolute clarity and courage to speak. Not the Jeremiah 23 shepherds. All they preach is peace, peace. But the Jeremiah 3:15 shepherds who are fashioned in accordance to the heart of God, they understand because they stand in the counsel of God. They prepare their heart and at the right time, they will speak. Turn me to Daniel 7. We're going to end with this. Daniel 7. Verse 2 is a powerful, just in prophetic insight that's so apt for now, you know. Because Daniel saw wind stirring up, you know, saw the activity of God that's shifting like wind that is stirring up the sea. It's the same with what's happening right now, depending on how you see it. The wind of change is being stirred right now. We are raising towards that day. The day of the Lord. Let me end with reading this this verse. Jeremiah 7, verse 2. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. There's the stirring right now. The wind of change is shifting. We still have time, but not much. We need to have clarity. That's why we study the book of Joel, to help us to understand. Amen? Lord, we ask that will you cause your word to mark our heart? We want to be that shepherd that Jeremiah talks about, that we will stand in your counsel, opening up your holy word. May you speak, Lord, from heaven, from your throne. Cause your word to come alive like fire, like hammer. May the eyes of our heart be enlightened to understand and to see with clarity. May our heart be marked by your word. Cause your word to come like fire, shut up in our bones, that we will arise and speak with courage, with clarity. We say, yes, Lord, I pray. Grant us understanding, Lord, so that we can see clearly, interpret it correctly, Lord. Grant us understanding. And I pray for this whole teaching series. God, we want to learn more than just the book of Joel. We want to see your heart. We want to see what you are saying and what you are doing. Grant us understanding, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we may see with such clarity. Grant us understanding so that we may correctly interpret in such a time as this. Give us grace, Lord, so that many will arise as the true shepherd that will blow the trumpet and sound the alarm in such a time as this. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.